Hello, I'm Johnny, and I'm a great recovering addict. And I just want y'all to know, y'all just made me real nervous. But it's a good day to be clean. It's a real good day to be clean. It's a good day to be clean in Ocean City, right? Right? And for the new baby, this is my 14th year here in Ocean City. That's a miracle for an addict like me, who couldn't even get off my block. I couldn't even get out the radius of my neighborhood. And I've been in Ocean City 14 years in a row. Right? I want to give honor and praise to the God that I serve. And I thank him for like giving me a second chance to do this thing. At life. Right? Because I didn't think my life was going to go nowhere. I just thought I'd always be somewhere living in a crack house. And that's where it would end. You know, but he had a second plan. When I came in here, they gave me this little slip that said I had 5,041 days, consecutive days clean in a row. 5,041 consecutive days in a row. I did not get that by what I use or how much I use. It had nothing to do with neither one of those things. Nothing at all. It had to do with me doing this consistently one day at a time. And somebody kept telling me to keep coming back. Right? And when I got my topic, what it didn't matter. We don't care what or how much you used. I went way back to what I used. And the first thing I remember using was people. Long before the drugs got started. I was using people. I was using my boyfriends. I was using my family. I was using my friends. Like, and I didn't even get in touch with that till I got here. Because for me, that was just a natural thing. Drugs was only a symptom of all the stuff that I had dealt with, like, and the feelings and emotions that I got from the people that I was using. Right? I lost my parents when I was 12. Both of them, they died simultaneously, one behind the other, right? And I ain't know how to deal with those feelings. So I began early on using people. And this topic talk about it, don't care. We don't care what you use. That means people, places, or things. It does not matter. What matters is it led me to using drugs. It led me to drinking alcohol. It led me to tricking. It led me to lying. It led me to stealing. And then ultimately, it led me here. Right in here, right where I needed to be. This program was designed exactly for me. And when I first got here, I didn't even know it. I had no understanding because it talks about it don't matter how much you use. I was a weekend user when I got started. I went to work every single day. I went to school. I went to college. And on Fridays, I got high. On Sundays, I would stop. And that was at the beginning. Somewhere along the way, it got good. Then it got real good. Because somewhere along the way, I figured there was no reason to go to work no more. Somewhere along the way, I got the feeling like it wasn't necessary to pay my rent no more. Right? Somewhere along the way, I decided that it was all right to steal food out of my mother's refrigerator to feed my kids and not go to the grocery store. And I can't remember when that happened. I just know it happened. Right? And when I got here, y'all were talking about it didn't matter who my connections was. It didn't matter how much I used. What mattered was that I had a desire to get better. Right? And I had to identify in with that because I thought I was better than when I got here. You guys wasn't doing it right. Because I remember I was only a weekend user. And when I got here, my thinking, my disease said, Johnny, you ain't get high like they got high. Johnny, you still got your good government job. They ain't had their jobs. They lost their jobs. I had only heard the stories of death where I couldn't identify them. The ones who still had their jobs when they still got here. And lo and behold, one day I walked in the room and I heard my story and I said, dang, go on. Woo! It cut me in the gut because somebody still had their job and they were still using, but they was under the vicious grip of this disease. And finally, I began to be able to identify in with it didn't matter how much I used. It didn't matter what I used. What mattered was that I was an addict. And I had to come to grips with being an addict. And I didn't want to be an addict when I got here. I just wanted to, like, learn how to pay my rent on time and still smoke crack. I just didn't want to come home anymore and my kids be sat out front saying, Mom, why all our stuff outside? Right? That's what I wanted when I first got here, and I figured you guys was going to teach me how to do that and still successfully use. What an insane thought. Right? When I got here, I had to keep going back out of here because I identified out. I couldn't identify in when I first got here to what I was using or how much I used, right? Because I didn't drink very much. I like smoking crack. If I was going to go get something, I was going to go get what I like. Through whatever means necessary, right? That means to sleep with the 13-year-old boy at 35 years old. Every time he showed up, I rolled up, right? And my disease did not matter that he belonged to somebody's mother and that I had a son of my own, right? Because the disease said, through whatever means necessary, Johnny, you must go. Not you gotta, you must. It had that much control over me when I first got here. And I was ashamed when I first got here to talk about who I had used. Till I heard somebody talking about they had slept with the little boy. And I was sitting in the seat saying, oh my God. I thought I would never tell nobody that. Like I was going to take that one to my grave. Because I was ashamed of that one. But they told me in order to keep this program, you got to share the disease with somebody. Right? Because otherwise, you continue to suffer in this process. I did so much research when I first got here that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of myself. And I finally sat on the front row and I was willing to raise my hand and talk about that little boy and the many times that he had came to my house and I did whatever I needed to do to just get one more. And when they say one is too many and 1,000 ain't never enough, every time he showed up, I had to go, in spite of the fact I ain't want to. I was forced into it because the disease had me under a vicious grip, right? I found myself in places that I said I would never go. And I would look up and go, how did I get here one more time? What am I doing with my good government job? What am I doing with three kids at home and I ain't been back in 2 days? My daughter's 12 years old. I got an infant and a 2-year-old. What am I doing? But the disease do not care about my children. The disease wants me dead. It'll settle for me being miserable. And I began to realize that when I got here, you know, and even in recovery, I got to be careful, right? And for the new baby, you better grab hold to somebody. Because what you use and how much you use, what you use, could dictate how long you stay. If ain't nobody get that, I'll say it again. Because it is important to realize that the disease is centered in your thinking. And when your thinking is flawed and you go back to your old way, you go back to what you used to do. And if you don't believe me, try. We'll be right here waiting for you when you get back. right? I've seen countless people with a lot of time say that meetings ain't for them. And they end up back in those places. And then they come back and tell us that it's still out there. And some of them stay out there for a little bit, and some of them come right back. That's why I say it don't matter how much you use. Don't matter. You can go out there and use one day. You still right for this program. Because if you come in here, if you don't do no work, eventually you're going to be out there, and you're going to be out there. And the disease is going to show up to a point where you be begging to come back in here. Some of us don't even make it back. Some of us stay out there, right? But even in this program, like, we have a tendency to use people. And I've experienced that being here, too. Like, I picked up a new baby in recovery, right? Knew they was a new baby. And this talking about the program don't care what you use. So I was using this person for feeling, right? I had a void that I was trying to fill with something that was harmful to me, and I was harming him in this process, doing step work, coming to meetings, right? I was causing myself just as much pain in this room as I was having almost when I was smoking crack, trying to hold on to a relationship that should not have even began from the start. Because they say, let the new baby live. So when y'all see the new baby around here, let the new baby live. Because the new baby have a disease that has manifested. And if you've been here for a while and done some work on yourself, you can see the disease in the new baby. When you've been with them. Then you get connected to them, be talking about how I get in this. Now, how do I get out? Because the new baby going to want you to get out. It's going to help you to want to get out. The behavior from the new baby will cause you to use. Right? And I remember when I finally got to the point where I realized my sponsor helped me through this process, where I realized I was causing more harm than good. Not only to myself, but also to them. And I remember taking and packing up this stuff and taking it to a storage place and paying for the first 30 days. Right? Because I had begun to, like, recover. Right? And I put this stuff in storage because my disease was saying, throw it all outside. And a whole lot of people who don't do no step work were saying, throw it all outside. Right? But I had to take my part in picking up a newcomer.
That's right.
And I had to also be responsible for trying not to hurt them anymore. So I paid for the first 30 days. And I gave them the key and said, after 30 days, you're going to have to figure this out for yourself. Right? And I began to do some more step work. Right? Because I don't want to use nobody. And I don't want to use no more crack. I want to try to live this life as peaceful as I possibly can. Right? I got a sponsor. In fact, I got two sponsors. Because I'm crazy on both sides of my brain. So I need somebody help me to balance out, right? But today, like, I'm really willing to go through the process and do step work and show up for step groups and pick up new babies, right? And all my sponsees told me, oh, you need to shout out my name. I said to myself, I'm going to shout your name out. I'm going to let people know that this program and how it works is that when I start to get better and I do the 12 and 12, then I got to pick somebody up and teach them the 12 and 12. And when they get the 12 and 12, then they got to pick somebody up and teach them the 12 and 12, right? So I got 14 people now I'm teaching the 12 and 12 to. But their requirement is they got to pick up a new baby when they get to their 12 and 12. Man, this program is awesome. Awesome. I got one of my babies right now. Her grandmother died yesterday. I got sponsees who hadn't even met her, showed up for her. Right? Because what I give is what my sponsors give to me, back to them. This is a free program. But you got to unconditionally give it back. Right? I don't want to use people today. I don't want to use drugs today. Right? At the end of my road, I was at Lincoln Heights in a crack house. Started on a Friday. Was supposed to be going to the grocery store. And ended up in a crack house from Friday to Sunday. Right? And when I woke up, I was sitting on the end of the bed asking God to take my life. Because I had used so much. And I thought I had this thing because I had 6 months clean. And I said, I could go up there. Right? And I'll be all right. And I was taking somebody else up there. And I ended up stuck up there. Right? I remember going to the 2nd and D shelter. And I sat on the front row with a lady somebody had told me was going to be my sponsor. And I raised my hand and I told him I was done. That I did not want to use no more. Right? That was June 29th, 1995. For the first time, I knew in my heart that I really wanted this program. For the first time in my heart, I knew I did not want to use no more. Nothing. No crack, no alcohol, nobody. Like I had took my son's father to the mill. It's so devastating with him back then that right now today, he still won't speak to me. And it affects my son. Right? Because I can't go to him with my with the problems with my son and have a decent conversation about what can we do together to raise this child. Right? So my son is doing what he want to do. And I'm doing the best I can as his mother. But his father is abstinent because of my disease. And I'm powerless. And if I was him, I wouldn't fool with me. Considering, because I'm an addict that when he come over my house and get in my bed and go to sleep, I go in his pocket, get his keys, go to his house, steal his money, come back and get in bed with him. That's the addict I am when I'm smoking crack. Right? Somebody can identify him with that story. I ain't that addict today though. Today, I'm recovering, man. Like, I wouldn't dare today even consider some of the stuff I did when I was using, you know. For the new baby, man, get hold of somebody in this program that has the working knowledge of the 12 and 12. Give unconditionally, right? Go to meetings on a regular basis. That don't mean go to meetings once a week. That means on a regular basis. Because my disease be doing push-ups on me. When I think I'm better, I'm worse. When I think I've gotten this program, I just lost. Because I ain't never going to get better. It's always going to be a situation in my life that's going to cause me to have to pause. And they say in this program, if you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. This year, I've had to not do nothing a lot of times. I really wanted to do some stuff. And the only thing I've not felt like doing is using. The only other thing I've felt like not doing is not using another human being. Right? But it's only because I work very hard on myself. I talk to my sponsor on a regular basis, right? I do step work. I give unconditionally. I share with other women and men, because men do recover too. You know, I just thank God for the program that I have, right? And I thank him for giving me the people that he's offered in my life today. You know, when I did my fourth step, I cried for a long time because I didn't have any understanding of why God took my parents out of my life at such a young age, right? And from the time I was 12 till I was 35, like, I felt lost in this world. Like, I felt like I had nobody to, like, depend on for real. I had people around me, but I didn't really feel like I had that mother and fatherly love that your parents give you. So I'd always felt like something was missing. And drugs filled that void for me. It escaped me from having to feel what I was feeling. And when I got here, y'all started talking about, well, you're probably stuffing feelings. And I'm sitting in the back seat saying, no, I'm not. He said, well, if you ain't talking about a situation, you're probably stuffing feelings. Well, I had never shared it with anybody. I used to go down in the basement and cry about it a lot. And when I came out the basement, I'd go find me some crap. Right? So when they talk about alcohol and drugs being a symptom of this disease, it truly is. Because my disease is my thinking, and my thinking dictates my feelings, right? And whatever I'm feeling usually going to dictate what I do. If I ain't got somebody saying, that might not be a good idea, Johnny. It sounds good based on how you feel, but for real, it might not be a good idea, right? So I thank God that he brought me here. So somebody could just simply say to me, think about it, at least. Can't really tell me what to do, because I'm going to do what I want to do, right? I still fall short right now today, because my thinking is still flawed. That's why I got to keep coming back, right? But I stand a chance today to not make as many mistakes as I used to make, right? So as a result of that, life has gotten better. Because now I'm okay with picking up the phone saying, okay, let me hear your part. Because I done listened to my stuff. I done heard me loud and clear. Could you give me another scenario to what I'm feeling? Because most times I know what I'm feeling ain't right. Most times I know what I'm going to do, especially if I feel like somebody done something to me. Right? I'm always on get back for real when I first start thinking about it. And I'll tell me that it's okay to be on get back. Until I share with somebody and they say to me, Johnny, you ain't got get back, right? The program says that give it to God in the third step, turn it over and let it go. And that's why I share with y'all. I've been like really standing still this whole year, not really doing what I feel like I want to do based on the end results of it, based on the people who I've shared it with have said that might not be a good idea. And I've taken their suggestions and just sat still and let God do what he do for my life, right? So my life has been peaceful for the most part, as a direct result. Now, have things went the way I really wanted them to go all the time? No. I've had peace, though, as a result of me not doing what I want to do. Right? Letting somebody else guide my life. Letting somebody else share with me their story and their process. Right? Using again for me was only a symptom from the beginning. I didn't realize it until I got here. I just thank God that I've done the 12 and 12, and I better understand now why it's important for me to keep coming back. This is going to be a lifetime process for me. Sometimes I got a couple of members in my family that still say, you still got to go to them classes. Said, if you don't want me going your pocketbook, I think you better let me go. Because I might convert back to old behavior. You know, and I don't want to convert back to old behavior, so I simply tell them, you know, I'm going to go. And on my anniversaries, you all should show up too so you can hear my story. And then it'll help you a little better understand why I need to keep coming back. Right? It ain't about what you think. I got to realize that I got to keep coming back. Because at any given time, I convert back to old behavior. My disease is just arresting. And I'm very clear about it. Recently, I was in a meeting, and I began to, like, curse this young lady all the way out. All the way out. Right? And another young lady grabbed hold of me and said, Johnny, this ain't you. And I'm saying to myself, yes, it is. For real, it is. When I got here, this is who I was. You don't know? She need to know that. Right? And then she started saying a serenity prayer and just stopped me in my tracks. I was mad with her for real because I had to say the serenity prayer, calm down. Because the program just like, for me today, the program just like is embedded in my living. I live this program today. I'm just being it. I live it. So when people start saying the serenity prayer, it stops me in my tracks. I don't care what I'm doing. Because it's connected to my recovery. And I start saying the serenity prayer to her. With her. And what ultimately happened, because I actually had cussed out two people on the way up the aisle. Truth be told, they told me I had to tell the truth. I cursed two people out. Well, one of them, I was able to like come back down the aisle and say to her, I apologize. Right? Immediately. That's that 10th step work. Like, promptly admit my wrong. Right? It took me a couple of weeks later to go back and tell the other young lady after my sponsor said, okay, you got to go do that again, right? But I'm so in tune with my recovery with my sponsor, like, I just do what she told me to do sometimes. I make it real simple. And I simply told her, okay, I'm going to do it. I can't do it this Sunday because I ain't really feeling it yet. I'm going to pray a little bit, but I am going to do it. And I went back to the group, and I apologized, right? And I ain't really apologized for her. I apologized for me. Because I needed to move on and not hold on to that. Because the garbage I hold on to could lead me back to where I used to be, where using becomes prevalent again. Right? And I don't want using to become prevalent in my life again. I want to move toward a more spiritual life, right? So that I can stay connected to the God that y'all gave me when I first got here. And it was through getting connected to him that helped me realize that using wasn't something I wanted to do from the beginning. Because I used to think when I first got here, I wanted to get high. I used to say, I love smoking crack. But for real, I probably did love smoking crack, but every single time I smoked crack, my life was destroyed. Everything went in a stem. I heard people saying my house went in a stem, my car went in a stem. How that happened? And then my house went in a stem and my car went in a stem. And I said to myself, wow, they told me I ain't have to do it. But my disease is so baffling and so cunning and so powerful that by myself, left to my own devices, I'll do it again. I'll do it again. So if you're walking around here, left to your own devices, and you answering all your own questions. Don't ask yourself why. Just know you set the stage for your own destruction. Because the program says that you got to have somebody to lead you in this process. If it's only you with your rocking chair, your cigarette, and your newspaper, you ultimately going back to where you came from. And you can do it again, and we'll be right here waiting for you when you get back. That's the beauty of this program, is that you can go back out there, and we're going to still be here. But the problem is, everybody don't make it back. They just told me I was out of time. I want to thank y'all for letting me share.
Thanks, Johnny, for a great message. Our next speaker is Liz.
My food is down. I'm short. Hi, everybody. My name is Liz H., and I'm a recovering addict. And I am so scared right now. I want to thank Johnny for bringing us an awesome message. Awesome. Woo. You know, our topic comes from what is the Narcotics Anonymous program. And it says, we, which is all of us, we're not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were, what you have done in the past, how much or how little you have, but only in what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. The newcomer is the most important person at any meeting because we, all of us, can only keep what we have by giving it away. We have learned from our group experience that those who keep coming to meetings regularly stay clean. I read that in its entirety because I really needed to remind myself of that. You know, my home group is NA in Del Rey. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in Arlington, Virginia. And it's a powerful group. We are a step in traditions meeting, and that's how we carry the message. I am just one addict among a body, and I need help every day. I thank God right now for this moment. Because there's really no need for me to be afraid. Because everything that I have done, you all have done it too. The shame is in not sharing it. They told me the antidote to disease thinking is honest sharing. And that's what I'm here to do, is honestly share my experience, strength, and hope. Whew. My knees is getting weak right now, y'all. Whew. I want to thank my sponsorship family for coming out to support me today, because I'm telling y'all, they have held me up. They have held me up by my elbows. Last night, we were up till 4:30 in the morning, and when I say laughing, loving, crying, sharing, giving, nurturing, that's what we do around here. That's how we give it back to the newcomer. And you talked about the babies. This ain't about me. This is about that baby that has not walked through that door yet. This is about that person who don't even know that they are an addict. I didn't know when I was a little girl and I grew up with my brother and three uncles that one day I was going to become an addict. I did not know on those days when we used to play hide and go get it. Because that's what we did. We played hide and go get it. And see, I was the go get it. I didn't know that in that act, that shit was going to feel good to me. And I was going to chase that. I needed to go get it. In any way I could find it. That's what the disease of addiction has done to me. It has reduced me to the point of anything that made me feel good. I had to go get it at any cost. I ain't care about your mama, your daddy, your brother. I had to do what I had to do to get one more. And in getting one more, I walked down a lot of dark alleys. I stayed on my knees a lot. And it was comfort back then on my knees, because I wasn't praying to God, y'all. I was praying for one more. And in that one more, I just wanted to feel good. That's what was playing that game meant to me. Let me feel good one more time. And that's how the disease of addiction has caught me and has kept me. Today I have freedom from that, y'all. My clean date is May 18, 1996. I have 4,717 days clean this day. It don't even matter about all that stuff I used to do. Because, see, I ain't doing that anymore. Now we're going to talk about the topic. Because it's about right now. It's about what we do right now. I go to meetings. I have a home group. I have a sponsor and a sponsorship family. And when I say family, I am not doing this by myself. They help me. I have sponsees in my life. Well, one. See, I ain't got there yet with 14. Yeah. But I have a sponsee in my life that I love dearly, and I know she loved me. And you talked about that process. You know, I can't keep what God has blessed me if I don't give it back to somebody else. You know, and it's about the work, you know, putting in the work. And, you know, I tried to research this thing, but we pray for willingness and humility and finally get honest about our mistaken judgments or bad decisions. I highlighted that because that stood out for me. I made a lot of bad mistakes up in this program. I'm talking about my right now story, y'all. I ain't talking about what I did to get here. I'm talking about what I've done since I've been here. And I've made many, 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 many mistakes. But even in the mistakes, I have found a way to continue to stay here. Because those mistakes were the very things that I needed to grow. You know, it is not shameful to relapse. The shame is in not coming back. We must smash the illusion that we can do it alone. I can't do this by myself. As many times as I thought I could, as many times as I thought I could come up in here and keep my secrets to myself, as many times as I thought I could go up in the stores and steal shit, as many times as I thought I could sneak around the corner and sleep with him, that was me thinking doing it on my own. And every time I did that, it caused me more pain, more suffering. You know, we relapse in this program clean. And what I'm talking about is the emotional stuff that we take ourselves through. I have suffered many emotional relapses in this program without picking up the drug. And that's what it talks about when they say, we don't care what or how much you use. It don't care that even still today I will allow my disease to kill me if I act. Today I'm learning not to act, I'm learning to respond. And how do I respond? I take the guidance of my sponsor. You know, I moved on in sponsorship about a year or so ago, and the lady that's sponsoring me now, oh my God, she is awesome. She has helped my spirit to come alive again. She has helped me to understand that, you know what, I can courageously walk through this process and not be afraid of who I am becoming. Because I am God's work. And he ain't done with me yet, y'all. He just getting started, so y'all better watch out. He just getting started. You know, and I'm feeling good. I mean, my spirit is just like dancing right now. I wore this shirt because this is what Narcotics Anonymous represents to me, love. Each and every one of these faces and bodies that's in here represents love to me. I ain't got to know you, but I know if I walked out that room and said I'm ready to smoke, y'all gonna grab me up and hold me and tell me, Liz, you do not have to do that. That's what we talk about when we say we give it back. I'm shaking, y'all. I'm still shaking. Because it's an honor to stand up here and do this. It really is. To be amongst my peers, the people who will know me through my walk and will love me no matter what I do, say, think, or act around here. You know, I just want to say for the newcomer, just hold on. Just hold on. Just hold on. Because it's about to get real. It's about to get real, and it's about to get real fast. And if you're thinking about using, just hear my words. You don't have to. You don't ever, ever, ever have to get high again. They told me when I got here, if you don't pick it up, you can't ever get high. I didn't know that out there. Hearing that coming in here, it just went like, wow. That was one of the most profound things that I heard. That and keep coming back. Because it don't matter about none of that other stuff. If I stop coming, then my disease has won. The meetings are the very thing that keep me here. I'm in service. I don't just participate in my home group. I have stepped outside of the lines of just being a member. I don't just sit down and hand out the papers. You know, I stand at the door and meet the person that has never made it to my meeting and say, welcome. Because, see, as a newcomer coming in that room, I was scared to death. I didn't know what the hell to expect coming up in here. But when somebody opened their arms up and told me, it's all right. Let me love you until you can learn to love yourself. That was powerful for me. when I sat on that front row after relapsing, because, yeah, we do that around here. But relapse is not a requirement. But for me, it was the very thing that made me become more vigilant in my recovery. So after getting a taste of this thing and knowing how wonderful this life is, I didn't ever want to go back to using again. So today, my walk is simple. I don't use no matter what. No matter what eliminates any and all excuses I could think of to get high. And I'm not just talking about the chemical. I have some clean time with shoplifting, y'all, because that's what my new using had become. I would go into stores, and I would steal to my feelings. When I felt inadequate or I felt I needed to feel better, I would steal to my feeling. And I wouldn't tell nobody. I wouldn't tell nobody with years clean going up in these stores and doing this. And what had to happen for me, I had to become thoroughly beaten to the point where I was walked out of a store in handcuffs. Do you know how humiliating that shit felt? But I had to be reduced to that so I could let God in to show me that He is the one that is leading my life. And without Him, that's exactly where I would go back to. And I prayed through that process. God, please help me not do this again. God, please help me not do this again. Of course, I did it again. And every time I stole something, I felt lower and lower and lower. So I don't know when it happened, that day came that the desire was lifted from me to not steal. I believe it is still in me right now. I just don't act on it. I tell someone. I ask for help. That is the hardest thing for us to do in here, is to ask for help. I need help every day because my best thinking kept me on my knees. And it wasn't to pray. Today, when I hit my knees, I pray. And I ask God for guidance. And I ask God for courage. And I ask God for the strength and mercy to keep going no matter how I feel. Coming here today, I felt so inadequate, like I ain't have nothing to give. But I know that that's the disease telling me. The God in me is telling me, you are worthy, Liz. You have suffered enough. When are you going to release it and let it go? So my message is real simple. Don't use no matter what. No matter what. If I get high, I lose it all. I lose the peace of mind. I lose the nice car. I lose the house. I lose the respect of my loved ones. I can't have none of that if I'm smoking. You know, because you talked about putting it in the pipe. I ain't know how to do that either. Because, see, when I was getting high, I ain't had none of that shit to put in the pipe. You know, but coming into this program, I have gained some things. And, yes, those things make me feel good, but I know those are not the things that are going to keep me here. What's going to keep me here is me vigilantly doing the work. And that comes upon step work. Because it talks about in our literature, if we don't embrace these steps, we're just thrashing about being clean. Staying clean is just not enough for me. Not for this addict. I need more. I need for my spirit to be fed. And in order for my spirit to be fed, that means that I need to crack this book open. Y'all know we got a new one, right? The sixth edition. That's what this book is. I'm not a quoter. I couldn't tell you where everything is on which page. I just open it up and start reading. That's just as simple as I keep it. You know, so I think that's about my time. Thanks for letting me share.
Have another big hand for both people for a wonderful workshop. We have a great way of closing. We can circle up and close in the usual manner.